Hi all, and welcome back to Rant Football UK, the podcast where a bunch of football fans get together, bitch and moan about the game we truly love. Now, this episode's a bit raw and uncut. What happened? We recorded Rant Football predictions and Donna left, but the lads kept on chatting through for about 20 minutes about darts and everything. We got onto football. I'm sure Simon and Gavin both said about recording, I wasn't going to. We got into football chat and halfway through a chat, I decided, well, stuff it. Let's record. So we did. So we got into a chat and we actually still had a very long chat. We talked racism and social media in football. We talked about bad refereeing and things like that. Even fans coming back to football stadiums and what possibly could happen for the Euros 21s in the summer. So anyway, I'll stop waffling on and let's get into the raw, uncut episode of Rant Football UK.
Or is it?
No.
Yeah, we're both on right here. This could be a good rant.
So, yeah. What English player would you take out the league, out the Premier League?
What,
and play from a striker, a midfielder, and a centre back?
If I was going for a midfielder straight away to join Chelsea, it'd be Phil Foden all day. I think the kid's quality.
Yeah, Phil Foden's bang on, isn't
it? But that's because Pep was clever with him. He put him in very sparsely at first with all his world class players, and he's just learned from, all right, he looks like a little chav. There's no doubt about that. He's also have attitude as well. But I don't care what he does off the pitch. The kid on the pitch is.
The thing is, mate, seriously, there's no chavs in Stockport.
And that lad from Villa as well, I can't remember his bleeding name. He's injured at all. Yeah, Grealish, he'd be all right as well.
He will do if he hasn't got a 90s haircut. Be great.
He can do what he wants. Oh, there, like Pogba. Like Pogba, he can do what he wants. As long as he plays all right in the field. Yeah.
Personally, guys, I'm happy with Mason Mount at Chelsea. He's probably the only Chelsea player actually trying right now. He was the only player trying against Southampton.
Yeah, it's very hard.
If we're going for a defender, midfield and forward.
English.
I would go with Diaz, who's not put a foot wrong since he came to us. The midfielder, I would go with Foden, and the forward, I'd go for, is it Fernandes? Fernandes, who plays for United?
Bruno.
Yeah. He's just, yeah.
I say he is.
That'd be my three.
Would you not take Harry Kane at City?
No.
He's for bringing into your club. I thought you meant like for the Euros.
Bring him into
our club. So three players I would bring into our club. Yeah, I'd still go with Fernandes because his eyes are like De Bruyne's. He can see plays before they're working. He's a step ahead of everyone.
Well, who's a better player out of them two?
KDB.
I used to be a City fan.
De Bruyne is the best player.
KDB. No, seriously, KDB is a better player.
Yeah, he is at the moment because he's done it for longer. We'll have to see how Bruno develops.
Exactly. If you have a look at Bruno 2 years down the line, because KDB's established in the Premiership and he knows how to work the Premiership. But yeah, it's took him a while to get where he is at City. But Bruno seems to have been that missing piece that United's been looking for.
You know who Bruno reminds me of? Not same sort of skills. It's what he does. He's Steven Gerrard of an average Man United team. Steven Gerrard dragged that Liverpool team most of the time to winning games and cups. That is what Bruno Fernandes does to Man United. When you don't have Bruno, you look bang on average. And that's not being an arsehole. That is what I see out.
No, it's true. Yeah, yeah. We've looked very defensive and just no life about him. But when he's in there, he does lift the whole team because they know that he's going to play well. Well, generally, he plays.
Well, by the way,
but, I totally agree with Phil there. If you didn't have Fernandes, you would be a mid-table club. And a team like United can't be a mid-table club.
Well, that was an argument on Sports the other day, but it's, I know it is, obviously you have these sort of discussions and what have you, but it's like me saying, if I didn't have a car, I wouldn't be able to drive. We have got Fernandes, so...
Yeah, no. Imagine if you could build a few more world class players around him. I mean, Cavani. Yeah, yeah. It's just a shame. It's the age you've got Cavani at. Five years ago, Cavani. God, but Fernandes, Fernand. If you could have got Cavani 5 years ago, with the Fernandes now,
finished Cavani did the other week when he just dinked it over the keeper. It was just like old school Cavani, and I was like, that's exactly what United were missing.
But Cavani come to us 5 years ago. I don't think he would have done.
I don't know. It's weird with Cavani because Chelsea always used to flirt with him, but they never put a bid in.
You used to see back pages going Cavani, and coming to the Premiership, but no one did.
It was weird at United, wasn't it? Would Cavani have come for Moyes or the other fella, the Dutch lad? Would he have come for him? I don't think
he would.
No, he might have come for Mourinho.
He would have come for Mourinho, he would have come for Fergie, but he wouldn't have come for...
What's he called in?
Van Gaal.
Van Gaal, yeah.
If anyone's just wondering...
How soon we forget.
If you're all just wondering, I am recording, and it's going to be now a random Rant Football UK podcast.
Yeah, I can see you recording. Sorry.
We missed a few things. Sorry, people. We did a Rant Football UK... predictions for YouTube, but we've been chatting for about 15 minutes before I started recording. It started with darts. We've got into the football. Some of the chat is absolutely brilliant. So I thought I would just record. So it's not a normal it's on structure.
That's when I said that's a great idea because we actually started talking about football again. Yeah.
And I was saying about all the racism shenanigans which is going on at the moment, which is absolutely disgusting.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I like what Zaha and I think it's Les Ferdinand as well. They're starting to come out now saying taking the knees are fast now, basically, because a token gesture, it's not sorting out the problem. It's just people...
It's not working.
It's not... No. I don't mind it doing it once a season.
Yeah. But we say... Go on, you finish. Go on.
No, go ahead, Paul.
My point is, I've got no problem with players not doing it if they don't want to. Don't, because if you're forcing people into doing a gesture like that, it's not true. So let's get rid of it now. We know there's a problem with racing, especially on social media. We need to find a way as football fans, as footballers, as football clubs, the sports, media, everything. We've got to find a better way to stamp it out. Knee was a good idea to start. Now we've got to step it up. It's time to start saying new rule in the Premier League when fans are back. Racism in the stadiums. There's no over the tannoy. Could you stop the racism? They're going to walk off. No, walk off. Just walk.
I think that you got your trophy racist now, I think. Like, racism is absolutely disgusting. Nobody should do it. But me, from an average, I'm just like an average white man. I've never experienced it. But when... You see people like Ian Wright and they get a lot of abuse, and it's disgusting. Marshall, Rashford, all these people, it's disgusting. But then they share it like, look what I've had, which is good, they've got to highlight it. But then the people who have done it, they buzz off that. They love the fact that, oh, look, Rashford's there. I pissed Rashford off and he shared my thing. So it's like a trophy for them, isn't it, for me?
What would you do then? What would you actually do then?
Report that straight to the police. If it's Twitter, get it straight to the police or the authorities.
I do think social media, they need to get their act together. These accounts, there's no business. You see it, that account's blocked, and block their bloody IP address.
There's no accountability. From Twitter or Facebook.
I know. Half these accounts are fake as well, and they're hiding on fake accounts, these racist people.
There's nothing stopping you. You can just go on Google now and make up a fake email address.
Yeah.
Set up a Google account. Straight away, you've got a Facebook account, you've got a Twitter account, you've got an Instagram account. All you need to do is, as soon as you get abuse or you give abuse and you get some retaliation, you delete the Google account.
Yeah.
It can't be found.
This is why they need.
You get blocked, you go again.
It should be. Like Phil said, it should be on your IP address. It's not your IP address, because your IP address doesn't change.
Oh, it does. Well,
the last two digits do, but the main seven don't. If you're using a Wi-Fi or an address at a house, if you're using a mobile phone, no. But you can still find the original IP. I know there's VPNs out there, but proper people can find you. I could pinpoint your place. If I knew what I was doing, I could pinpoint exactly where you're recording from by a meter if I wanted to.
Yeah, but how would you know? I could do it, put a different picture, put everything different, nothing about me up. How would you know if it's me or not on a different phone?
If we pin your IP address, mate.
If I pin your IP address and pin you to where your precise position by a meter.
But because we're not doing anything wrong, as long as you're the right people looking for that information, that's fine.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
You're looking for a one person. You're not looking for. You're not looking for the person you're supposed to be.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying.
If you do it one person at a time, then you are actually sorting out the situation.
I know what Andrew means. He's in a household. Andrew, it's about five people living in your house. Right?
Yeah.
But what we would do then, as say the police, they would show up. You, the parents, and all you in the front room, they would talk to all of you and they would investigate. And if it's not the parents, I would expect the parents then to turn around and say to their kids,
one of you frickers is it?
Yeah.
You get a warning. And then if it happens again, then you get a fine or you maybe worse.
Yeah, the racism.
Racism or anything like that shouldn't be a fine.
Deaths as well, aren't you, to referees and what have
you? It shouldn't be. Criminal community service or prison. Forget the fines. The fines are doing nothing. People can afford these fines. Prime example, I know this is going completely off topic, but COVID-19 at the moment, with all these fines for having people around your houses, I know at least 30 people who can afford, and they've done it. They've had people around the houses, they've been caught. They can pay that fine because they can afford it. They don't give two flying fucks about it.
No, but someone like me,
because they can afford it. A fine is nothing.
Can't afford it, well, what would you give me if I can't afford it? Would you send me
to prison? No, that's what I'm saying. Don't give fines. Give them community service and custodial sentences. Yeah. That will stop it and nip it in the bud like that.
Get them picking all the litter up. There's bleeding litter everywhere. We'll get them on that.
Yeah, but it's not going to actually stop him, though, isn't it? Even though he goes to prison. He can still do it in prison, or they can do it.
I'm not being funny, but if you're a genuine person and you've done it by mistake, fine. But people who are doing it, they get a buzz off it. They're not getting caught. If they get caught, that's when things will change. But they're not being caught because they haven't got the time to look for these people.
And if they get retweeted and shared thousands of times, that's amazing.
Whatever you do, we're never going to eradicate it. It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
But the point of this, Andrew,
about education as well.
We catch, say one out of four, we catch one person, the racist person, the other three get away with it. There's a chance once they realise you can get caught, two of them might bottle it and not do it again on social media. So then you've got rid of one because you've got the other two have disappeared, and that means you've got one left. So it's not getting rid of it, but it's putting it down lower levels, so it's not as much and not as high as it is right now. Because, as I said, you're never going to get rid of it, but we need to find a way to make it less. A bit like COVID-19, we have to cut down the numbers.
Like Simon said about the education side of it as well. Like if one lad goes to his friends, like, oh, look what I've done. And they all say, well, that's not very funny. You know, educating them all. They need to find some.
The thing is, I'm not being funny, but you guys are probably brought up the same way. You got told to respect your elders.
Yeah.
Do what you were told. If you didn't do what you were told, you got a slap. Or you got a, in my case, I got a belt a few times.
With all of a sudden, it's like,
but you can't do that now to these kids. No, and they know that's the thing. They know you can't do it. So they're just saying, well, bring it, sunshine, to the dads and the mums. Bring it. Come on, bring it. Because I know you can't touch me because I just report you to social services.
It's exactly the same for the police and the teachers as well. They've got no power anymore.
Bollocks. The country's gone soft. I'm going to rephrase that. The country's not gone soft. the world has gone soft.
Let's not put all this blame on children. Racism was around.
Of course. So, it's just more prevalent now because of social media. It's just easier to be a dick.
It's easier to hide behind a computer than actually going up to that person, knocking on the door and saying, oh, you bastard.
Anybody can say, I don't like somebody because of this, that, and the other, but why have you got to bring the race or whatever into it?
We're in the race thing here with one simple comment. There's only one colour to all of us in football, and that's our team's colours. That's it.
Yeah.
All that matters in football, that colour. Red, black and white, and Chelsea blue of the future.
You've got light blue on because you're a partial City fan.
Well, it's the only way to try and win the league again, isn't it? I've forgotten what it's like after 4 or 5 years.
I think everyone's partial City fans this year, as long as Liverpool don't win it again.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's why it'll change.
Guys, you know what I want to bring up? No VAR chat, because I'm sick of VAR. I want to talk about a Pacific ref. There's 2 points I want to bring out of him. Mike Dean. The guy's, I think, has lost it as a referee. I don't think he's that good anymore. I don't know what it is, if he needs time off. And the other subject, he's crap right now as a ref. What the fuck are people doing threatening, yet again, social media? This time not racism. They're threatening his life and his family's lives. Fuck off. I'm not going to argue that point. I agree. But you don't threaten the man and his family's lives. What is wrong with people out there?
Well, you just mentioned about refs there. But I don't know if you haven't seen it. Did anyone see? I can't remember what league it was in either. I think it was in the League One.
Championship.
Yeah. When the referee went to report. Yeah. So, how the fuck are you going to stop players doing it if you've got a referee there doing it yourself? Well, so he should be kicked off.
That's a one-off.
It reminds me of the Italian.
No, but that should be kicked out. You can't expect him to do it and say, that's the warning. You've got to kick him out.
I don't care about players going head-to-head with each other. As long as they don't physically headbutt, I've never understood what the big fuss is about a player going head-to-head having an argument. I don't get it. You're heated. Your adrenaline's running. Of course you're going to have an argument and go head-to-head with each other. But the headbutt's different. You shouldn't
headbutt. Every single league needs a pair Luigi Colina.
Yeah. He's a player, but
don't argue with that goal.
Exactly. a guy who everyone respects. At the moment, no one respects any referee.
No, because Mike Dean. Every
single league in the world respected Colina.
Yeah. The thing is with Mike Dean, I think
he was the.
Yeah, his pinnacle. Yeah. He got the decisions right. If he was wrong, he admitted it in his reports. If he made a mistake, he admitted it. If he thought he used to think about things. That's what I think the difference is. He never made any rash decisions. He'd wait a few seconds, think about it. You could see it in his eyes, because obviously his eyes were massive. You could see him thinking, and then he'd go, right, then he'll get the card out. It's not like it's running over, trying to stumble getting the card out. But going back to Mike Dean is a celebrity referee now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He has been for the last few years.
Yeah.
And this is not a stab at him, but it has gone to his head a little bit. He thinks he's above everyone as a referee in the Premier League. I personally think he thinks he's better than everyone else as a referee.
Yeah.
And he's got no concept at the moment because of the way the situation is. I don't think he thinks he's got any consequences for what he does.
No.
And this is not saying attack his family and say give him death threats. That's bang out of order. But I personally think he's got an ego, and his ego's is just driving up the moment because no one's telling him to, like, look, mate, you need to calm down. Well, you need to rein it back in a little bit.
Even if we had fans in, they'd be giving it in money for a barricade.
Just a little bit, just a little dig every now and then to say, look,
referee's
a wanker, all that kind of stuff. Just get serving that. But he hasn't got that, and I think his ego's getting a little bit bigger. And unfortunately, when your ego gets bigger, people notice it more. And that's when the trolling starts, and that's where I think it's personally come from.
How old is he? Is he in his 50s?
He's in his 50s.
Right, so don't you think he should retire then?
No, I don't think he should retire. Is it? To be honest, to be fair, he's made a lot of mistakes this season, but consistently, he's been one of the best referees we've had in the UK for a long time.
If he's keeping up with play and all, I don't matter how old he is.
But if he's getting these death threats tweeting towards his family, I think that would come on to, do you know what?
He shouldn't have to back out of his job because of that, surely.
Well, it's a part where they probably would tack his house, wouldn't they? And if you tack his house, he's, yeah, but what happened then? Do you still do it?
Of course you do.
But I don't take it away from the football pitch. I can tell you that if Phil Foden makes a dirty tackle on Mason Mount, I think Phil Foden is a dickhead. I don't like the tackle. But I'm not physically going to get so upset that I'm going to go to Phil Foden's house and threaten his family and him.
That's, but the only problem is,
I'll just be pissed off at home.
Well, the only thing I'd say about you threatening Phil Foden is you're not stopping at my house to do it.
Yeah.
Tell you what. Well, right.
No, I was going to say, since we've lost Mark Clattenburg to the Middle East, our refereeing levels, I reckon, have gone down a bit.
Yeah.
Because he was a good referee, Clattenburg.
I've had this idea. I don't understand why we don't bring a couple of referees, like footballers, from some of the best countries in the world of football refereeing and integrate their style of refereeing, because the Premier League game is still the fastest league in the world, but the game style has turned more European. So maybe getting these European referees in would help a little bit with the English refs. I only need two of them, and they come and help these English refs out and say, look, this is what's going on. We know what this diving trick is and that. We know what these players are doing. It's not prevalent until really like now it is in the Premier League now, all this diving and Salah and that lot diving like they've been shot by somebody every 5 minutes. What's embarrassing. But the English refs tend to not notice it as well. Now, I think a Italian ref, a Spanish referee coming in for a just working with these refs could, you know, clue them up a bit and say, look, this is what's going on, son. These players
post-COVID, that's a great idea.
But at the same time, I also think the problem with refereeing in England, this is a big problem that's happened. Back in the day, do you remember the 90s and that? If a referee had a bad game, we could say the referee had a bad game. They could even interview a referee.
Mm.
Now the referee is hyped behind everything, a big brick wall in the way, and they're not held accountable for anything. And then the other refs will make an excuse up for their really bad decision. This does not help. This is, I think, end every game, an hour after the game, when everything's calmed down, press conference, just like the managers, the referee should be calling with his assistants, not on his own, to, you know, bully on him. Come in with their assistants. They've had an hour to chat about the game, look at the highlights themselves, and then they can turn around and say, yeah, we fucked up. Like that. Yeah. I'll be absolutely fucked up, but they admit they fuck up, like the rest of us. We're not saying they don't fuck up, because everyone fucks up.
Everybody does, so.
But
I think they should come in the cameras and admit they made a mistake. But so I think you get more respect that way, coming on the cameras, and then instead of doing the dressing room.
I don't think you can do it straight after that.
I don't think
you should make the referees be on camera. I reckon they should be accountable for what they're doing, like Phil was saying. But what I think referees should be is they're already doing it. They're mic'd up. We should be able to hear what they're saying to the linesman, to the VAR, even to the players. Because I'm not being funny.
Referees.
Yeah, look at the respect the referees have got in rugby. Because you say something out wrong to that referee, it's recorded and you're screwed. Simple, done. You say a bad word or you say anything, then it's in within that earshot, that microphone, that player's reprimanded either straight away or straight after the match. In rugby, should be in football. It'll put a lot of players confronting the referees, and it'll also give us an insight to what the referee is actually thinking when he's making decisions. Because we don't know what he's thinking.
What does my head in, though, is when referees get a decision wrong, but the manager, who on match of the day turns around and said, that referee's had an absolute freaking nightmare, gets fined 20 grand when the referee has had a freaking nightmare, but he's not allowed to turn around and say he's had a nightmare.
I think the referees need protecting from certain things, but they've got too much protection as well now.
I think a manager should have a right to come out though and say,
they should do.
Yeah.
But the referees have got too much protection.
But I mean, in my job, anybody's job, why should somebody in that, so the rest of us, we all get told off, we get criticised what we do wrong, and then there's someone else in the job who's slightly higher than us, different than us, and no one can criticise them. I don't agree with that. I mean, that's what I mean. They're too overprotected. There is a fine line of protection they need, but they're grown men and women. They're on a good bloody wage on full time, and they've got to be held accountable. I'm telling you now, if they got held more accountable, they'd start getting more decisions right. Because they would start thinking.
Also that as well, what you're saying, that this conversation rolls down the leagues. You think about the way these referees are getting away with this kind of stuff. Do you really think that these young kids who are coming through are going to respect referees when they're playing football on the pitch as a kid?
Never.
They're not?
No.
And it needs to be led by example. I think the likes of Mike Dean needs to come out and say, look, I made a mistake. Is what I put his side, just say what he thought. But then to obviously, we know we're going to keep VAR out of it, but to spend whatever time he did on that VAR situation and still stick with his decision, even though 99.9% of the population knew he was wrong, that was his ego. But his ego won't allow him to apologise for what he's done. But if they were mic'd up and we could hear the conversation, that everything that with the players, what he's talking about when he's talking to the player, saying, look, mate, calm down with these tackles, or else you're going to get a yellow. We know what they're saying because I can lip read as well, so I can tell what they are saying if the camera's on them. But a lot of people can't. And if they're mic'd up, I think this will stop a lot of the criticism that we're giving to referees, a lot of criticism to the bad decisions, because at least we know what they're thinking while they're making the decisions.
Well, it'd take a while to get used to that, but the players would all be swearing at them again, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's down to the players to say, well, wait a second, I need to watch what I'm saying, else I'm going to get a fine for swearing at a referee or swearing in the vicinity of a referee, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, because it's not showing the kids what.
The commentators are apologising every 5 minutes at the moment, aren't you? Like, sorry if you had any bad language.
Yeah. But that's football. There's going to be bad language in football. They always has been. They always will be, even down to the 5-year-olds playing. You know what I mean? But they need to lead by example to bring it down to the grassroots. So these younger kids who are coming through now realise they can't get away with this diving. They can't get away with a shouting at the referee. And these young aspiring, I'm going to say referees, because there is some people out there who want to be referees. They're going to look at what's happening now and go, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be that person. And they're going to be we'll end up with a shortfall of referees eventually.
You've had a good idea.
How much is a professional referee on a year? Is it 40, 50 grand, something like that?
Something around 30 to 45. Yeah.
And I do believe they do. And also, I do believe some of them do get bonuses as well for performance based. So if they're getting a lot of decisions right and getting a lot of things right, they get bonuses. So it's a livelihood.
If you do well in your job, then you go to European level and you get a bonus for that, and you go to World Cup level, you get a bonus for that. So, but
I think Ranieri, I think he was on, I think he earned about 100,000 euros or something for that season where he did the World Cup over the season. So it's a lucrative job. Don't quote me on that price, but I'm sure he did get six figures over the season.
Who gets the most it then? Female referees or male referees?
Both get the same.
Are you sure?
Well, there's not that many female, is there, to be fair?
I cannot imagine a female referee gets the smallest amount in the Premier League. Not in this modern day, it'd be all over.
It should all get the same. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, an octopus, a tree.
I
think you should all start off with the basic same as a ref. Mm-hmm. They all start with the basic same, and then obviously the referees who get the cup finals and that are going to make more money, who get international games, European games. That's just how it works. But they all should stay at exactly the same base. Maybe the main referee in charge of them will be on more money because he's the boss. But yeah.
And that's probably generally how it works.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing, though, Simon, what you thought of.
What?
Young footballers and that, why don't we get them in courses as referees and assistants?
They
learn what the referees now have to go through.
There's some out there.
Yeah, but football clubs, I don't know clubs what do it.
No, it's not a club thing. There is academies out there for referees. Yes, but what my it's very small.
No, but what I'm saying is every football club, especially the clubs like Man United, like isn't that what
they Yeah, that, I understand what you're saying, but they won't do that.
That'd be biased, wouldn't it?
That's the mic.
Hello.
I understand what you're saying, Phil, but I understand what you're saying with that, but they won't do that. Clubs won't do it because then technically that referee's got an allegiance to that club.
Yeah.
And that's where it won't work.
But most referees support clubs anyway, so that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they do, but generally the lower league clubs, they say.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, come on.
Who else is it?
Yeah. But seriously, if you taught a 7-year-old to 12-year-old kids refereeing through the youth academies, when they get old enough, they will show more respect to the refs, because they'll say, fuck me, all them rules these refs have to learn and everything, I get what they're going through.
But
they don't know what the refs go through. All they care about is being footballers. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying make just Joe Bloggs kids a refereeing course. I'm saying kids who've got potential being Premier League players, and getting them on refereeing courses and saying to them, like the John Terry's and that, when they're getting towards the end of it, because they go on the manager courses, no difference. You're learning.
Yeah. I see what you mean with that.
Yeah. They want to go in that route. Must be open to them, though, to have a go at that if they wanted to do that.
Well, usually the referees are for young footballers who either picked up an injury and couldn't be a professional footballer, or didn't get picked up and they just learnt the game themselves and wanted to be involved in a game, but they knew they could never get it to a professional level.
Happened before, they'd have to have the fit to go up and down the field.
Yeah, but if you had the chance of managing a club or being a referee where you go get loads of shit and stick, what would you do?
Well, I'd go manage Chelsea for a year and a half and then become a ref.
Personally, I wouldn't want to be a manager.
No.
I think it's more...
I wouldn't want to be a manager in this day and age, because I won't be funny, but talking back in the 90s, early 2000s, you as a manager of a club, you had not stability, but you knew you had time to be a manager. Awesome. Nowadays, you haven't. Yeah, you don't produce results, you're gone.
Yeah.
Money.
The coaches, because the club now chooses the transfers.
Yeah. Well, the only person who's actually done it, who does it well, and I really wish he'd stayed, but Mike Ashley was a bell end, was Benitez. Rafa did everything. He did all. He literally made £32 million for Mike Ashley in the space of 3 months. And Mike Ashley went, thank you very much.
Fuck off.
Well, we've had enough advice. We've gone about rest lately. Referees, you're in a hard job, but stop thinking you're the stars of the games. A good ref to me, basically, tentative, is a ref we don't notice.
Which game was that? Was it the Sheffield game? There was like 21 minutes of uninterrupted football.
Because
he let the game flow. He didn't blow up for everything. He just said, get up, carry on. And he kept the flow. He kept the game going.
Happened to Chelsea Southampton.
Is that a good idea or is that a bad idea?
Great idea. Keeping the game going. It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, but
we're
here to watch football. Yeah. We're not here to watch prima donnas falling on the floor, rolling around. We're here to watch football.
Yeah, man.
Right,
football is getting the ball from one end of the pitch to the other and scoring a goal.
Right.
You do it is great. How you do it, keeping it great. Keep it in the pitch. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Great. You kick it out and bounce off a player for a throw-in, then another throw-in, then another throw-in, and I've had my pants pulled. I fall over for 2 minutes. That's not football.
No.
Anyway, I've got something else. Let's move on to. So the big rumour of this year in the UK is obviously we're going to get the roadmap. This will probably come out after Boris has told us our roadmap out of lockdown 6,000, whatever number we're on now. But the rumour is the League Cup final, what Man City are in, Gavin, and the FA Cup final and a few Premier League games and that, they're going to be trialling fans in stadiums again, because in the summer we've got about 5 or 6 games in England, where all England's European Cup games are going to be played, and the semi-final and the final of the tournament
at the Euro 2020.
They want around 35,000 fans in the stadium. Now, let's hope this works, because football without fans is okay.
It's not great.
No, that's what I mean. Okay, that's why I said okay. Yeah. Football, Wembley with 35,000 fans. I'm going to say good, not great. Not because 35,000's number. Numbers and then people are going to be corporate wankers who don't give a shit.
I said that to you the other day. 35,000, I'd say 20,000 are corporate.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Brigade.
So they'll be the ones who, I put this.
Anybody. Just start it. Just get people in. We need to start somewhere.
We were teased, weren't we? Just before Christmas, some of us were getting fans in 2000 at Chelsea again. It was funny. Well, the difference is when you hear the fake FIFA chants on TV, sometimes it makes you feel okay. But even just 2,000 fans, when the fans would on the spot make a funny song up, a funny joke,
yeah,
random, that what made it football to me. You're like, there they are, booing the ref. It's just so much better.
The only thing is, though, if we have a half full Wembley, it would benefit Man City because I believe our ground's only half full all the time anyway.
Here we go.
So I'm happy with that.
Well, ours will be half full by the time we get going again because nobody's allowed to travel.
But that's what I say. Are they going to work this? Is it going to be people being COVID vaccinated?
I'll be vaccinated by then.
And then you've also got to prove, you're still going to have a test, in my opinion, because we've not had enough data yet to prove how long the vaccination works, and we don't know if you could catch it again, pass it on. So, it's still a tricky situation. I want the fans there. For God's sake, I want Wembley at 50,000, truth be told, especially for the final in Europe. I want that many. But right now, we've got to hope this country that many people as possible are getting vaccinated. And that's not the big part to me. Yeah, it's great. Many people have said the biggest thing is we need to know if this vaccine stops us passing it on. If that works, we've won.
It doesn't stop it passing on.
They haven't got proof yet, Andrew. They've said they haven't got enough data or long enough data to decide that factor yet. That's going to be until next year.
There's a lot of rumors that it's not going, basically, it's just going to slow everything down. So if you do get it, it's not going to be as bad with someone who's not had the injection.
Yeah, but the point is, that's good. But if we find out the vaccine stops us spreading it, we've done it. We've got COVID for now until it mutates into another form. But we can beat it.
What I have read is there's a problem with us holding the semi-finals and finals in case Portugal get through, because Portugal are a red country to us at the moment. And Portugal are one of the strongest teams in Europe at the moment, obviously. So if Portugal get through to the semi-finals, they can't play in England.
What are we talking about? June time?
Yeah.
I got a feeling with football, they'll find a way around this. I know they're not doing it for the Champions League right now, but this is still in lockdown.
Which is something else I wanted to bring up about Champions League games being played in places like Greece and Hungary. Because we're playing against teams.
Yeah, but that's because that's right now. But
another
4 months.
It's not fair for them, though. We played the Spanish team in Italy the other day.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're playing Atletico Madrid, but it's not in Spain. What's an advantage?
Yeah, I think we played at Juventus' ground.
Who is it that has to go to someone like Greece to play?
I think it's Chelsea.
A game of football.
Yeah.
And they could have actually played it in Poland.
It's mad.
It's just like, why didn't you play it in Poland, which is a hell of a lot closer than Greece? Then it's bananas where we're having to play football.
I'll give you four letters.
UEFA.
There you go.
The whole thing is, should we not have stopped?
They couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Season.
It's knocked them down. Play it in a neutral ground. We were talking about this earlier, me and Andrew. Play it in a neutral ground like we do, but just a one-off. Just one game.
Yep.
It's in a neutral, it's fine.
Like they did with the quarter semis in the final last year.
Yeah.
There's no complaint.
Super series. Personally, I think they should do that again. I think they should do that super series. Leave it all to the end of the season. Let all the seasons finish. Beginning of May, if there's try and get some of their games finished before if they can. Like, example, if you're going to know you're going to be in the final, semi-finals or something, try and get your games played before the beginning of May. Then May, before the championship starts in June, May to middle of May, you have a little mini super series for them four teams. Get them out of the way, and then you're into the Euros.
I'll tell you why that won't happen. Because them four teams, most of them players will be international players and their countries will be screaming their bollocks off for them.
Yeah. We're going for the 2021s again, aren't we now?
And another thing, though, the money, the Sky, BT, all that. Oh, it's BT for Europe anyway. Yeah, they've been promised the two-legged games, won't they?
Mm.
All the advertising, all the revenue, all the...
It's the two... I'm not being funny, but the... This two-legged crap needs to be kicked into touch anyway.
I think I think the Champions League should change. I think do your group stages home and away like normal.
And a straight knockout. If you get the home draw, you get the home draw. If you don't get the home draw.
No, even better. There is no home draw. It's that simple. Once this is all back to normal, you can have Man City versus Barcelona in Italy, Juventus versus PSG in England, and just one leg. So there's no home draw, no home advantage.
Well, then people whinge that I want to see my team play at wherever, Old Trafford, Eastlands.
If that happens in the group stages, you'll see that. You have your home and away games in the group, three home games.
Well, you'll see that on a Thursday night anyway, Paul.
There we go. I don't have to tune in next week. We're already through for whenever it is a week after.
We're just playing the best team in Spain Tuesday night. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's all right. They'll prime you for our 8-0 defeat.
But yeah, back to the fans. Though, when do you think fans will be back fully in the Premier League?
Next season.
I think they'll ease it like they did do what they did in certain areas this season. Ease them back in.
I think you can't start off with fans straight away. I think you can do with like 10,000, slowly move up to 30, and then...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You've got to do what we said back in November, December, when we were talking about this, and that's do a draw with all the season ticket holders.
Yeah.
So many people in, and then they can't be in the next draw, and they get to a game, and then...
It's not a set amount, it's a percentage of the ground. Obviously, Old Trafford's bigger than certain grounds, so you get whatever, like a 10% of each ground.
Old Trafford's bigger than all grounds, Paul.
I know it is. But, you know, you have a 10% of whatever they hold. Something like that, you know what I mean? So it's fair for each of them. Rather than saying you can have 2,000, 4,000...
7% home crowd and 3% away crowd.
But even that could be tricky because they won't want people travelling, or they still might not want people travelling by then.
Well, the thing is, when this comes out, we'll all sound like idiots because we should really know what the roadmap is as of tomorrow. Oh, I've updated it now, but...
No, you're right.
We're making assumptions like we all... Like, to be honest, we're humans. We all make assumptions. We don't know what Boris Johnson's going to say tomorrow. We don't know what the Premier League are going to do in 3 months' time. We don't know what the Premier League are going to do. Because Boris Johnson say we can do this, we can do that. But the Premier League might say, well, we're not going to allow fans in yet.
No.
I can tell you one thing the Premier League's going to do in 3 months' time. And that's give us our trophy back.
There we go. And at the end of the day, people's health is more important. But then jobs and getting all that side of it more important than football and sport and everything, really. Everywhere's going bust, isn't it, really?
And it's got Sky News on. It's got breaking news.
Man City's not getting a trophy.
Man City haven't won the trophy yet.
It's kind of related. It says the government have announced that the data on the vaccine rollout, the vaccine efficiency, new variants, and infection rates will be the four tests, in air quotes, for easing restrictions in England.
I'm totally lost on that.
I know we're going off the football thing here and we should be playing talk about football. I had my first Pfizer jab on the 31st of December. Because of my job, obviously working in
care.
I'm now waiting for my second jab. We don't even know which way it's going to go, whether we're going to get another Pfizer, we're going to go Oxford, going to go this, going to go that. So we're on our side of it. We don't even know where we're at.
Right, so what, yeah. what job did you get first?
Well, I got the Pfizer one first, you know, the Pfizer two.
Well, you get the second one, and it'd be exactly the same.
Well, that's what they're talking about, but they're talking about getting the Oxford instead of the Pfizer.
Yeah, they're doing trials, aren't they, to see whether you can mix them or not.
Yeah.
But they won't get that data back for at least another 3 weeks.
Well, I don't think that would be right. I think that would damage
people. I should have had the second Pfizer on the 21st of, or the 20th of January, but we're still a month.
Yeah, now you've been pushed back to 12 weeks, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. But that data has come back. That it actually makes the efficiency go from 69 to 85 with the Pfizer, and same with the Oxford. It makes it jump up. So in theory, this is one thing I'm going to praise the government on. They've gone against the company's recommendations, and it's worked. It's the only thing they've done in the whole of this pandemic. They've gone against the recommendation, and it's actually working for them. Because I wouldn't have done that. If I bought a car, and they told me to drive him forward, but then the government told me to put it in reverse to drive better, I think I'll still be driving forward because that's what the manufacturers told me to do. I've used this analogy before on another podcast, but that is what I was told to do by the manufacturer. But the government decided, no, we won't do it that way. We'll do it this way. And it actually has worked. It's worked for the better for everyone. So, waiting 12 weeks sounded ridiculous at first, but early signs are showing that it has actually made a better effect than it was before. So you should be due for yours in the next couple of weeks, I think. If you've got the 31st,
End of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, so you'll get yours, but you will get unless you've been selected by the trial committee to say, right, let's try the Oxford one as a second dose. You'll still get the same one.
I'll still get a second Pfizer.
Yeah, and then probably in coming into the second round in May, you could get anyone because it might show that the results work, that either one you have works fantastic. It works even better and they do work together. And that's when it doesn't matter what you get, but we're still in the early stages of that. So, you're wondering, I geek out about this kind of crap all the time. That's why I know so much about it. I can just get it off the top of my head.
It's interesting.
Official today, official announcement today. We are at 33.4% of adults have had the first dose.
Good.
What's annoying me the most is, even though I am a fat geezer, I cannot wait for the gyms to reopen.
I just can't wait for the pubs to reopen.
I want a pub.
No, I'm waiting for gyms more than pubs.
I want a cinema to be open more than the pub, to be fair.
Why the gyms? Gavin, why the gyms? I'm intrigued now.
Why? Because As soon as I hit the gym, I'll hit a gym. And my friend's got a gym, and I'd say it's been there for 25 years. And it's annoying, knowing full well that they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's been my gym since day one.
Yeah, I'm the same with hairdressers, and obviously I don't need a hairdresser, but hairdressers.
I'm not, mate. I'm not cutting it. I'm leaving it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You do what you do. You do you.
Can you even do a ponytail now?
I hope it all falls out tomorrow.
To be truthful, though, I've actually bought some bubbles today. Never bought bubbles in my life. Phil's going to be taking the piss out of me for the next fucking 3 months with that.
Even the beard's grey.
David Beckham Alice band.
Not anybody. Not them. Let's get back to football. Andrew. If there's one player you could sell at Man United right now, who would it be?
Fucking go there.
Go on, say it.
Go on, say him.
De Gea. He's got a goal.
De Gea. It's not Pogba anymore.
Hold on. I can fucking go if you want me to. You've got De Gea, Lindelof. No, you've got De Gea, Lindelof. They've got a goal. To me, how many times have they completely fucked up? De Gea's lost it fucking last year. You've got a young kid there who could easily get in and probably do a better job than him at this moment in time. Henderson. And I still say Henderson is a better keeper than De Gea. And I think he would be one of the best.
That was a thing to get fucking Sheffield relegated. That it was nothing to do with buying a better goalkeeper.
Very that was to get Sheffield back down. With that Henderson's a better goalkeeper than De Gea.
I think he is.
Prone to a mistake now, De Gea.
I think he is.
I've got to agree with you that De Gea is past it.
But I wouldn't blame De Gea for everything. I'd still blame the two in front of him as well.
Is it Harry Maguire?
Yeah. Maguire, Lindelof, Bailey, when he comes in, but you're saying that.
If you think about it, if we've got, say, Maguire, and you've got someone like a Bailey, someone there, someone who's got pace, we're pushing right up. We've got fucking Lindelof and Maguire, we're sitting back, so we're inviting teams onto us where we should be attacking. Look, I've watched City's game tonight. They're back fucking 2-3, whatever it was. They had three men pushing up and one just sitting back. And that's how we're always fucking with. That's why they're the best team in the Premier League, and that's why they're going to win it again. It's a fact. We need to drop that defence out. We need to do it quicker or fuck off.
De Gea is past it. Yeah. I think De Gea is past it, but he's still a very good shot stopper.
Yeah, but is he?
Yeah. I think you put him one-on-one with a player, he would save half.
But it's the little things.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you've not got any confidence in your defence, you're not going to have the confidence yourself. Prime example, look at Dubravka and Darlow at Newcastle.
What are you doing him?
I don't know. But you've got them two goalkeepers are cracking goalkeepers. It's just that they've got a crap defence, but they know how to support themselves with their crap defence. I still say Dubravka is one of the better goalkeepers in the Premier League. Unfortunately, he's playing for Newcastle, so it's not being noticed as much. You put him in United, he'll be in the same position, but he'll be stopping more shots than what De Gea is doing. Mm. But Dubravka's got a bit more confidence in Lascelles and Sir in front of him.
I can stop more goals than fucking De Gea.
Only because you're bigger than him.
Listen, I might be fucking bigger, but the only thing is, I could be a fat cunt and still stop more goals than him. Trust me.
If you were in the left of your goal and somebody shot in the right, you'd never get over there. You'd be blowing.
Get over there.
Get over there at half time.
Yeah. Four times.
Half time whistle from post to post.
Full time it would take me.
I've got to admit, the reason why we're top of the league at the moment is because we've actually sorted out our back four out.
And you've got a world class keeper.
We used to get our back four organised.
We did, yeah, exactly. And we've actually got it organised now. And I think that's the reason why we've gotten the position, because we've only conceded 4 goals in God knows how many games.
Would you have John Stones in there?
I'd have Josh Stone. Hey?
Would you have John Stones?
He's not wrong.
He had
a couple of seasons where he was, you know, we were like that about him. And all of a sudden, he's just clicked with Diaz. And that's what you need. If you think about it, when United had Steve Bruce before Pallister, United had a dodgy defence. As soon as United got Pallister along with Steve Bruce, it clicked. The same with Rio Ferdinand and whoever else was with you at the back at the time.
Yeah, I know what he means, because the same happened at Chelsea. You had Terry and Cavalli, who was brilliant. We had a few shits, and you had Terry and Wayne Bridge. They were perfect for each other. Mm. They shared the same women.
Yeah, but Cavalio and Teddy worked as a unit, and it took a while to find that second person to work. And that's what it does. As soon as you get those two people at the heart of your defence working together as a team, it works. And you can turn it the other way around. If you look at United 99, you had Solskjaer, York and Cole,
Sheringham
and Solskjaer. And both of them worked together, and that's why you won the treble, because you had two forward lines that worked.
Yeah, but our back two are not working together. We've got to play on the bench.
Maguire.
Put Bailey
up there. You need another one with him. If you find that one, he's useless.
Evan Bailey, put him there.
Not good enough.
I don't think he's the one at the moment. He's not covering himself in glory, the lad, when he does play.
No, but you think about it.
When he comes on, there must be something about him, or they wouldn't have bought him, but he's not showing it yet. When he does not play much, so we don't know, but yeah, he's not showing it.
One thing I want to bring up, we can all laugh at Liverpool this season.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be truthful. There is no club in the Premier League right now who's had so many influential players. Not just because of injuries, people go, oh, we've all had injuries, but they've had so many what we would call world-class starting players injured.
It's great, isn't it?
If doesn't think Liverpool will not be back in the title race next season, they're mad.
They might not be because the players are good.
If they don't make
Champions League, Hold on. Bell.
Yeah.
We haven't been playing with a central forward for the past God knows how many games.
Well, that's fine, but Liverpool have literally lost a whole bloody team to injury this season.
To be fair, you've got goals in your whole team, really, aren't you? So
we have our forward eight.
Yeah. I've just seen Sterling's goal. What a header that was!
If you look at our back three and then work out what the eight others are going to do, or the seven others are going to do, you just don't know what we're going to do.
No. They're very interchangeable. That's the problem, the Swines.
It's scary because if anyone's doing non-zonal marking, they're knackered.
Yeah. We said about United before, and they used to be like that. They used to have the players used to swap over a lot, like Giggs, Beckham. You know. Yeah.
If you look at Liverpool in the 80s, it was like playing against 12 men. United in the 90s, it was like playing against 12 men. Chelsea in the zeros, it was playing against 12 men. Because you didn't know which player was playing where.
Yeah.
And it didn't change like that, and you'd be fucking cross-eyed.
Well, it's funny you say about the 12th man again, because that does bring crowds back into it. And I do think that's hindering Liverpool a lot, because the cop and everybody does lift the Liverpool team, doesn't it? Lift all the teams.
But I know a lot of people saying about Liverpool with their injuries, but is it not that Klopp had a system? Has that system been found out?
Yeah.
Put them players back in, and I'm telling you now, I'm not being horrible to you, Andrew or Paul. Liverpool smash Man United, they smash Chelsea, and they give this current Man City game a run for their money with them players.
What I'm saying, but the system that he's playing it's been figured out, but it's just that they play it that well as a full strength side, they just can't be stopped.
I figured it out last season. We knew what it was. It was a very strong back line and one hell of an attacking line. But there's knowing how
to in the middle.
knowing what it is and knowing how to stop it is two different things. I don't think teams have figured out how to stop it. I just think Liverpool just haven't got the players anymore. Liverpool got an average mid-table lineup right now. I mean, they're bringing.
Well, you know what? At the moment, I think the best people, the best team at the moment to do what they do is tack from the back to the front is Man City. I hate saying that.
City play the same way every time. You can't do anything about it because you don't get the bleeding ball.
Yeah, but that doesn't work because Leeds are not. Leeds do is attack, 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 and I get sick of snoring. Leeds lost 5-0, but they play amazing football. If I was a team like Leeds, I'd rather go 2-0 up and then defend for our lives for the rest of the game, not lose 3-2. I mean, that's stupid. I don't get Sky now. Oh, but they play sexy football. England could play sexy football in the summer. If they win it that way, fantastic. But if England won the Euros in the summer and we play boring 1-0 counter-attacking football,
I'd rather 1-0 boring attacking football every day.
You're going to be cheering winning that trophy.
Yeah.
Way. I'm not going to remember in 50 years' time. Oh, do you remember the year England won the 2021 European Cup? I'm not going to go, it was boring football. I'm going to go, it was great winning it.
Remember when you won the Champions League and Drogba was laying his back?
But we were shit in that final. We shouldn't even made that final. We were lucky against Barcelona. But who cares? We won it. And the year we didn't win it, when we were the better team, especially in extra time against Man United, and we still lost it. So it doesn't matter. Man United, and you remember the Terry slip. You forget.
Oh, yeah.
You forget how Chelsea.
You forget about Drogba being sent off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're saying that.
And we're still better with 10 men than they were with 11.
We got outplayed in 99. Doesn't matter. We won it.
Exactly. No one remembers. We just.
But if you think about it, at the moment, what I remember is, if you think the two best comebacks ever in the, from what I remember in the Champions League, it's got to be Man United against Bayern Munich and Liverpool against AC Milan, I think it was. I think that's the best two comebacks in the Champions League you probably never see again.
No, no. See, you've got to think about Barcelona, Chelsea in the semi, was it semi-final?
What, when we were 10 players for most of the game because Terry got sent off for being a dickhead.
Yeah, and they came back and beat what was supposed to be the best team in Europe.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah,
I still don't think it touched United or Liverpool. I don't
Barcelona.
Know.
Barcelona, PSG as well. The other year was a.
Just going back finals, you would say Barcelona. I would say Liverpool had the greatest final. Man United had the greatest final. If you go by a tournament, you would say Porto with Jose, Inter Milan with Jose, and Chelsea that year, because everyone forgets Chelsea were a mid-table team that season. Sacked Villas Boas, who was an absolutely shocking manager. Won the FA Cup the same season, what everyone forgets, won the Champions League, and the cherry on the top, they had to change the rules in the Champions League because we stopped Tottenham being in the Champions League because of it.
Yeah, well, that just shows how much it was the players being dickheads, because the manager you brought in wasn't actually a manager.
And it's exactly the same right now with Chelsea, the players
dickheads. It happens a lot. Right, I'm going to have to leave you all to it because I've got to be up early doors in the morning.
That was a fantastic podcast. So, yeah, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Go on Twitter, RantFootball1, and we'll see you all soon. See you later, guys.
Adios,
everyone. See you later.
Well, the full-time whistle has blown. Thank you for listening to another episode of Rant Football UK. If you enjoyed it, please go over to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars and a nice little comment if you can. Also, check us out on Twitter at RantFootball1. If you'd like to come on with us and have a rant, email us at rantfootball1@gmail.com.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.